I don't know how many of you tuned in on Sunday or were here Sunday and watching now. I'm not going to use them tonight, but I figured you wanted to get another look at me in these jaded glasses. Ta-da! This is what we look like when we have the wrong perspective about things. We're looking through jaded glasses. And as I shared on Sunday, we need to take them off so we can see clearly everything that Father wants us to do. So say to who's ever with you, I'm going to keep the jaded glasses off because it's important that I see clearly. Now go with me to Hebrews 11:6. That's along with Matthew 6 are the foundation scriptures for this teaching we've been doing. And I've been using the J.B. Phillips New Testament because that's the one God wants me to use for this particular scripture. And it reads, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. The man who approaches God must have faith in two things. First, that God exists. And secondly, that it's worth a man's while to try and find God. And yes, we've been on this scripture a long time. We know there are other scriptures in the Bible. But this one is it's very key. It says the man who approaches God must have faith in two things, that God exists, and secondly, that it's worth your while to try and find him. And if you're not doing those things, if you don't believe God exists first, and if you don't believe it's worth your while to try and find God, to connect with God, to have a relationship with God, it's impossible for you to please him. And then we have Matthew 6, verses 31 to 33. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And this is, happens to be in a Johnson paraphrase. Jesus said, again, I repeat, do not live with anxiety. Do not keep asking, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where will we get our clothes? And I add, when am I going to get healed? How long am I going to have to walk down this road? Says all this continual quest for more and more of the physical necessities occupies the full attention of those who are unaware of God's presence. I can assure you that your Father, the source of your being, is aware of all your physical needs. You are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all your relationships right. When you get a proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. It said we are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all your relationships right. That's why your relationships matters. All of our relationships should be set right. All of them. Then, after we get them set right, then we can get the proper, we can give things the proper priority. But if we don't get them right, we'll never get a proper perspective on things. And we're going to, this evening, I'm going to tell you why. Jesus was emphasizing the importance of getting a proper perspective. Because he knew the issues that you go through are not the problem. The problem are not the issues. The problems are not the circumstances. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. Don't look at each other now and say, I told you so. But it's not your husband or your wife. It's not political parties. And it's not even the devil. It's your perspective concerning those issues. That's the problem. It's your perspectives about the circumstances. It's the perspectives about what your spouse. It's the perspectives about politics. It's your perspectives about the devil. And we need to change our perspectives about those things because Jesus said when we get the proper perspective, these things will take care of themselves. So if we never get the proper perspective, these things will never take care of themselves and we'll always be in a mess. We'll always be walking around operating in anxiety, and that's not what we're supposed to do. So we talked about, you know, some aspects of proper perspective the last couple of sessions. You can go back to our website or to Facebook or YouTube and watch parts 15 and 16 if you want to know more about proper perspectives. But I want to share a little more concerning our ability to get a proper perspective. Because since Jesus said, when we get a proper perspective, obviously he's letting us know we don't have it, and we have to get it. And we need to know what we have, what is it that we must do so we can get a proper perspective. So we think because we're a good people, and we are, not saying that we're bad people, we basically are good people, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that's what it tells us in 2 Corinthians, but that's not good enough. There's more that we're supposed to do. Even though we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we can have an improper perspective about things and still find ourselves always in a mess, wondering when and how are we going to get out. That's why Jesus said you are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all your relationships right. And when you get a proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. We're to give first priority to the spirit dimension and setting all, A-L-L, all your relationships right. That means there shouldn't be any relationship that we're in that's wrong. There shouldn't be any. It's a very important concept we have to understand. He didn't say, give first priority to the spirit dimension, then set all your relationships right. He didn't say that. He said, and. There's no way you can give first priority to the spirit dimension if your relationships are not right, because they're one and the same. It's just like that the scripture in Mark 12. I want to go to Mark 12. I'm in the Amplified Bible. I'm going to read verses 28 to 31. One of the scribes came up to Jesus and listened to them disputing with one another, and noticing that Jesus answered them fitly and admirably. So he asked Jesus, which commandment is first and most important of all in its nature? Jesus answered, the first and principal one of all commands is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord your God out of and with your whole heart, out of and with your soul, all your soul, your life, out of and with all your mind, with your faculty of thought and your moral understanding, and out of and with all your strength. This is the first and principal commandment. Verse 31. The second is like it. So he's telling you, even though I'm saying this secondly, I'm telling you it has the same importance as what I just said. So really, the first two things I'm telling you is the most important commandment. Because he said the first commandment is love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. The second is like it. And it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. They are equal. So in that same vein, he's saying you are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all your relationships right. They're one and the same. When you're giving first priority to the spirit dimension, you're setting all of your relationships right. You can't do one without the other. You can't set all your relationships right without first giving priority to the spirit dimension. And you can't give first priority to the spirit dimension if you are not setting all your relationships right. Because setting your relationships right is necessary for getting a proper perspective. And if you can't settle all your relationships right, it means you don't understand God's grace. You don't understand God's mercy. You don't understand God's strength. You don't understand God's love, and it also means that you're unaware of God's presence. If God were standing or sitting right next to you right now, you wouldn't have a wrong thought, say a wrong word, do a wrong gesture, because you know God is there. Well, guess what? God is there. You may not see him, but he's the one who said he'll never leave you, leave us, or forsake us. So he's always there. And if we were aware of God's presence, we would treat each other differently. And I'll tell you something else. If you can't settle all your relationships, you're not pleasing to God because you're not operating in faith. And as the scripture began with, without faith, it is impossible to please him. The man who comes to God must have faith in two things. First, that God exists. And secondly, that it's worth a man's while to try and find God. Reverend Tony Cook sent me some quotes. Reverend Tony, he's a great teacher and a great friend. And he always sends us some good nuggets. And all of the quotes he sent were good, but one I kept reading over and over, and we put it on the marquee and outside. It says, God does not need your good works, but your neighbor does. God doesn't need our good works, but our neighbor does. Look at Mark 12, verse 20 to 31. We read this before. You shall love the Lord your God out of him with your whole heart, and out of him with your soul, your life, and out of him with your mind and your all your faculties of thought and your moral understanding, and out of him with all your strength. This is the first and principal commandment. The second is like it, and it's this: you shall love the Lord, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then I have it highlighted in my notes. There is no other commandment greater than these. They are equal. God wants our love, but he doesn't need our love. Our neighbors need our love. And by the way, if you look up the word neighbor in the concordance, you'll find out one of the meanings is anyone with whom you have a chance to meet. So that means every single person on this planet is your neighbor, because you have a chance to meet every single person that's on this planet. You don't know who you're going to bump into. The way God gave it to me this evening, he said, your family needs your love. Your coworkers need your love. Sinners need your love. Criminals need your love. Terrorists need your love. Neighborhoods need your love. Schools need your love. There isn't a person or organization on this earth that doesn't need our love. And I'll tell you why I say that. In John 13, verse 34 and 35, this is a familiar passage, but I'm going to share it out of the Message Bible. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, let me give you a new command. Love one another. In the same way I loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples. When they see the love you have for each other. The only way your neighbor is going to get to understand that Jesus loves him or her is when they see you loving one another. When they see you loving your brother and sister in Christ. Because if they can't see that, their thought, and rightfully so, is going to be, if you guys can't love each other, and you go to the same church, and you save the same God, and you save the same Jesus, why should I expect that you'll love me? They need your neighbor, the person they need to have a relationship with us. And it needs to be right, because we're the only evidence that they have that Jesus exists. He sees it in the way they see us loving one another. So if we're going to have a proper perspective, we're going to have to get all of our relationships right. Say, I have to get all of my relationships right. And I'll tell you something else. If we haven't settled all of our relationships, if we haven't gotten them right, God won't accept our gifts because they're not pure. He won't accept our gifts because we're demonstrating that He's not our first priority. If we're not demonstrating that we love Him and our neighbors with all our heart, because as we read earlier, both those things are considered the greatest commandment, to love God and to love your neighbor with all your heart, all your soul, all your being. If we're doing one and not the other, we're not loving Him. He's serious about this. Look at Matthew 5. God, He's taking this very seriously, especially in these times that we're in. I mean, I never thought I would see the day when folks that it's so easily get angry with one another for the stupidest things. I think it should be red. You think it should be blue. We have a fight. I think it should be yes. You think it should be no. So you go online and you ostracize me. You know, we have social media mediums where if you don't agree with what they say, they block you. They just block you. So you're not going to say that on my site. Even though the Constitution says there's freedom of speech. God is serious about getting all of our relationships right. Jesus said in Matthew 5, this is the Amplified Classic edition, "But I say to you that everyone who considers to be angry with his brother or harbors malice, enmity of heart against him, shall be liable to and unable to escape the punishment imposed by the court. And whoever speaks contemptuously and insultingly about his brother shall be liable to and unable to escape the punishment imposed by the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You cursed fool, you empty-headed idiot,' shall be liable to and unable to escape the hell gehenna of fire." So you got to think about when that person stops or cuts you off, you better be mindful of the words that come out of your mouth about them. Now listen to this. Listen to this next verse. This is how serious God takes our relationships with one another. "So when you are offering your gift at the altar, you there remember that your brother has any grievance against you, leave your gift at the altar and go. First, make peace with your brother, then come back and present your gift." God is saying, if your relationship with your brother or your sister or your neighbor or your dry cleaners, whatever it is, if that relationship is not right and you have a gift or a talent that you want to present to God, He's saying, you go get your relationship right, then come to me with your gift or talent. Because if you don't have your relationships right, you're not giving me the proper worship anyway, because I said, I being God, that one of the greatest commandments is to love your neighbor as yourself. I said, love me with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the first and the greatest commandment. No other commandments are greater than those. I said, you're to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all your relationships right. So when you bring an offering, and a gift can be an offering of money, a gift, we were talking about volunteering. Volunteering falls under that category. If you don't have it right with your neighbor, with somebody, don't come and offer your service. Go and get it right. Then come. It says first, it says leave your gift at the altar. Just leave it. Don't present it. Just leave it. Go make peace. Come back and present it. If I look at it this way, presenting a gift while you know you're at odds with someone is no different than what Cain presented. And it's not going to be accepted, just like it wasn't accepted for Cain. Because our hearts are not right. Our hearts are not in it. Because if our heart was in it, we would settle the relationship. We would settle the relationship. Now, question is, how do you develop that type of love and compassion and forgiveness? How do you get to that point? Because yes, people do what can be considered some despicable things. And not by accident. People do it purposely. Folks will plan to do something to you because they don't like you for whatever reason. And I'm supposed to have love and compassion for them anyway? Well, Jesus gave us some instructions. Look at Luke 6. Could have read the entire chapter, but I didn't have time, so I'm going to start at verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do something wonderful for them in return for their hatred. Someone comes to, I hate you. And you present them with a new car. Say, but I love you. Say, I hate your guts. I love you to the depth of your soul. Jesus said, love your enemies and do something wonderful for them in return for their hatred. He said, when someone curses you, bless that person in return. That's what he said. Bless that person in return. And if you're like me, you're thinking, I don't know if I can do that. But if we're going to give first priority to the spirit dimension, then we have to set all our relationships right. Because if we don't do that, we won't get the proper perspective and things won't work out for us. When others mistreat you and harass you, accept it as your mission to pray for them. When someone, When someone curses you, bless that person in return. To those who despise you, continue to serve them and minister to them. If someone takes away your coat, give him as a gift your shirt as well. When someone comes to beg from you, give to that person what you have. When things are wrongly taken from you, do not demand that they be given back. The way you want others to treat you is how you should treat everyone else. Verse 32, are you really showing true love by loving only those who love you? Even those who don't know God will do that. Are you really showing compassion when you do good deeds only to those who do good deeds to you? Are you really showing compassion when you do that? Even those who don't know God will do that. If you lend money only to those who you know will repay you, what credit is that to your character? Even those who don't know God do that. Rather, it's meaning instead of acting like those that don't know God, rather love your enemies and continue to treat them well. This is how we set all our relationships right. When you lend money, don't turn that off and go to another another channel. You say, I don't want to hear this. This hurts too bad. You leave it right where it is and listen to this because it's going to help you get free. When you lend money, don't despair if you are never paid back. For it is not loss. You will receive a rich reward, and you will be known as true children of the Most High God, having his same nature. That means God's nature is that he gives, and it doesn't matter if he doesn't get in return what he expects. He gives. And he said, we'll have identities as two children. Be like your father. Listen to this. This is how we can do this, folks. Be like your father, who is famous for his kindness to heal even the thankless and the cruel. So when you find someone that they just seem to be just out and out mean, even look mean. They don't smile at you. They just scowl at you. Just mean. Do you ever stop to think that maybe there's some nagging illness that's affecting them? Most people get a headache. They don't have the same happy disposition that they had if they didn't have a headache. That's why the devil uses sickness, because it throws your whole, it can be used to throw your whole perspective off if you don't have the right perspective. But he said, be like your father, who is famous for his kindness to heal even the thankless and the cruel. Overflow with mercy and compassion for others, just as your heavenly father overflows with mercy and compassion for all. Jesus said, in verse 37, forsake the habit of criticizing and judging others. Forsake it. That means let it go. Forsake the habit of criticizing and judging others, and you will not be criticized and judged in return. Don't condemn others, and you will not be condemned. Listen to this one. Forgive over and over. That answers the question, what happens if someone does something to me and I forgive them and they do it again? We think it's okay. But the Bible says forgive over and over. And if you look at that in light of 1 Corinthians 13, where it says love keeps no account of a suffered wrong. So since that's true, anytime anyone does something to you, as far as you're concerned, it's the first time it's ever happened. Because love doesn't, this is going on the premise that you love them. This is going on the premise that you set your relationship right. And if you've done that, then you don't keep account, because love doesn't do that. God has never said to me, this is the 8,675,265th time you've sinned. He's never told me this is the second, he's never even said, this is the second time you've done that, Gregory. Never. And the Bible tells me to be imitators of Christ. It tells me to imitate God. So that means I shouldn't do that either. I can't say, and not that you don't, we have a top-notch tech team, but I can't say, this is the third time you got the sound wrong. You have the right to say, I thought you loved me. Because if I loved you, I wouldn't be keeping account. Forgive over and over, and you will be forgiven over and over. Give generously, and generous gifts will be given back to you. Shaken down to make more room, to make room for more. Abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. When you give, after you've made your set all your relationships right, when you give, all these things will happen. If you give a great measure and you have aught for someone, or someone has aught for you and you are aware of it and don't do anything about it, You might as well leave your gift where it is and go fix the relationship first. Because relationships matter. The measurement of your generosity becomes the measurement of your return. God is expecting us to have right relationships with all types of people because he does. And we're a reflection of him. But not only that, he gave us something to ensure that we can do it. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 9, this is the account of Paul's thorn. You can read a few verses before that to get the full flavor. But when Paul was complaining about his thorn in the flesh, and really, if you study this whole account out, what Paul was feeling, it wasn't a physical thorn, so to speak. It was mess that he was dealing with and going through with people. He was getting tired of being harassed and challenged and threatened and all this by people. And he went to God three times. He said, take this thing away from me and get rid of these people. And God never addressed the circumstances that Paul was begging him about. He never addressed it. He never addressed the cause, because the Bible says it was a messenger from Satan. It was people being motivated by the devil. God didn't do it. God didn't say, devil, come out of them in Jesus' name. He didn't say that. He never addressed the circumstance. He never addressed the cause of the circumstance. He didn't even say, Paul, why are you coming to me these three times and not doing what I told you? He simply said, my grace, my favor, and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you. It's sufficient against any danger and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. And manfully doesn't, he's not saying just be a man. He's saying be have courage, be courageous, be determined. He said, for my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. So he told Paul, when Paul was complaining about people, that the grace he has already, he didn't say, I will give you grace. He said, my grace is sufficient. So that means it was already given. And Paul didn't know, or if he knew he had grace, he didn't know how powerful grace is. And we have to know that, folks. We have to know how powerful grace is. And it's God's grace that allows us to bless those that curse us, that to do good to those who despitefully use us. It's God's grace that allows us to do that. It's God's grace that says if someone smites you on one cheek, turn the other one. I'll hold it a little angle so you can get a better shot. It takes God's grace. It takes the understanding. It takes the revelation of God's grace to do those things. It's God's grace. You're walking down, you say someone's rolling their eyes. You're rolling their eyes at me, looking at me all up and down. Well, why are you looking at them? Ask them, is there anything I can do for you? Would you like me to pray with you about anything? Sometimes Deacon Phyllis and I, when we're at restaurants, and we'll just look over at different people in the restaurant, and sometimes God will tell us, call the waiter, the server over, and tell them you're paying for their bill. And we do that, and they say, oh, you know them? I'll tell them, no, don't tell them. We don't know them. We've never seen them before. And you're going to pick up their check? Yes. Why? Because God said so. That's why. God wants to bless them. They said, well, at least let me tell them it's you. I said, nope, don't want to be known. Well, they're going to ask who it is. I said, you tell them The same God that took care of this bill will take care of all the other things they're going through. And we got up and left. That's what we do. One couple figured it out. They came running out of the restaurant, crying, telling us about what they were going through and how they were asking God for an answer. I was at a gas station once, the gas station right there on the Garden State, around exit 168. And I usually don't go there for gas because I'd rather go someplace else where it's a little less expensive. But I was a little tired, and I didn't want to pump it myself. And plus God said, get it at this gas station. So I'm going in, and I'm looking for a short line. I see all these long lines. But long line, each line had maybe six cars in front. I'm like, oh, man, I don't feel like waiting. But then I found they opened up another one, so I started pulling on. God said, no, I want you to go. And he told me a direction to go. And I looked. It was the longest line. But I go because God said so. So I'm sitting in there. And I'm looking at the folks pumping the gas. And this guy, he looked pure evil at his facial expressions. His attitude toward the people, in my opinion, was very disrespectful. He wouldn't go over and say anything to him. He'd walk up to him and go like this. And then just walk away. He wouldn't even look at them when they give him the card. He'd just take it and walk away. And it was just like this, handing it back to them. I'm like, boy, what's wrong with him? I'm glad he's not on my island. Then he switched. Now he's on my island. And then, but still, I'm not looking for him. As a matter of fact, I wasn't even listening to anything spiritual. I was listening to the laugh channel. And just before he got to my car, God said, I want to give him a tip. Like, that's no problem. I tip guys all the time. So I looked, saw what I had. I only had a couple of singles, you know, and some fives and tens. I think I had 120. I was going to give him whatever singles I had, two or three or whatever. God said, no, I don't want you to give him that. Okay, I don't have a problem giving him $5. God said, no, give him 20. Okay. So I told him, okay, I didn't think $20 for that's about how much gas is going to go in the car. But I said, okay. And I said, is there anything you want me to say to him? He said, I'll speak to him when I'm ready. So I'm just sitting there. He comes, does the same thing. He just stands at the window. Doesn't say, I roll the window down and fill it up with 87. Give him the card. He just takes it. Goes on about his business, you know, and he's not, I'm telling you, he's not greeting, he's not saying anything to anybody. And I'm like, I'm paying to be abused like this. You can't even say good evening, good afternoon, something. You can't say anything to me. As he's finishing up, God said, give him the $20 and tell him, just like I'm giving him $20, I'll handle the problem that he's going through also. Okay. So I gave him the 20. He went to snatch it. I grabbed his hand so he couldn't pull it away. And I looked at him and I said, God told me to tell you that just like he's giving you this 20, he's going to take care of that problem you're having. This man screamed out, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, God. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. He's walking around all the cars. God bless you. Oh, God bless you. God bless you. I don't know what the man was going through, but whatever he was going through was wearing on him so much that he couldn't even be nice to people because he was so worried with this burden. And God used one of his people, in this case it was me, to love that person enough to obey God and do what God said. And it set him free. As I'm driving off, he's waving at me. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. And I'm waving to him back out of, you know, as I'm driving off. And yeah, you feel good after those episodes. First, I felt guilty for the way I thought about him in the beginning. And I went to repent, and God said, it's okay. You did what I asked you to do for him. And you changed his entire outlook. We don't know how we're going to impact people. That's why I don't despise, don't get upset with God when he sends you to places that when you look at him through your human eyes, it looks like this is the last place in the world you want to be, or this is the last person you want to deal with. You may be the last person that they have to come up to them to show them the love of God before calamity strikes. You don't know what's going on with people, but you know what's going on with you. So if we're going to keep first things first, we have to understand that God's grace will allow us to deal with anything that comes up and deal with it the right way. The only thing that can stop God's grace from working is if we don't want it to. That's it. Because his grace is not going to override your will. If your attitude is, I'm not going to do it, then you're not going to do it. But if you're going to live the way God said, then you're going to have to give first priority to the spirit dimension and setting all your relationships right. Then when you get the proper perspective, that means your first priority is always the spirit dimension. You've set all of your relationships right, all of them. Then all the stuff that's nagging you will seem to just work itself out. Just work itself out. That's a promise we have from God. Give first priority to the spirit dimension and setting things right. When you get a proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. Your relationships matter because it's the right relationships will cause you to get the right perspective. If you don't get your relationships right, it's because you have the wrong perspective about who you are in Christ and about who your father is and about who your big brother Jesus is. We need to get the right perspective, and to do that, we have to start treating people of the world like they're as important to us as they are to God. And they were so important to God, he so loved them, he sent his only son to die for them. Are we willing to let our personalities die? Are we willing to let our preferences die? Are we willing to let our opinions die? Are we willing to let go of what we're accustomed to die so that the love of God can live big inside us? If you want to have a proper perspective, you'll do that and you'll make sure all of your relationships, all right. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for all these precious people that took time out of their evening to hear your wisdom. Father, thank you for revealing the words to each person the way they need it revealed so that they can grab hold of it and do and act on what they've heard, because a revelation to be effective has to be acted on. So I thank you, Father, for the changed outlook of the people about their neighbor, about their neighborhood, about any person that they come into contact with. We're not going to go by outward appearances. We're going to go with what you said. We're going to love our enemies. We're going to do good to them that despitefully use us. We're going to love one another so hard and so genuine that it'll be obviously to the most ranked sinner, if there is such a person. But the chief sinner on the planet will recognize that we belong to you. Because the love they see coming, emanating from us and through us to one another and to them will be that strong. Thank you, Holy Ghost, that you'll remind us since you guide us into all truth. You show us things to come. You'll let us know. You'll tell us. Get this relationship right. Get this relationship right. Remember you're supposed to love, you're to love this person. And when we hear that, we will obey. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, some of you, as soon as you finish the stream, you may need to go call someone. And just talk to them. Someone you know they misunderstood something you said, or maybe they didn't. Maybe you said it. Fix it. Fix it now. Said you're to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all your relationships right. All of them. Forget about the terminology, love from a distance and all that other nonsense. Forget about it. Our Father, Jesus didn't love Zacchaeus from a distance. He went to them. Jesus healed people who hadn't received him. So if we're going to imitate anything, let's imitate that. Because anything else we do, I'm not going to put them back on, but it's looking through jaded glasses, thinking through jaded thoughts, and not doing what God told us to do. And don't forget, the volunteer opportunities that we need here. We really need your help. So get your relationships right so you can bring your gift in and you can help us out. Just before I thank you and give you an opportunity to give, I want to make sure that there's no one out there who doesn't know Jesus Christ. God told the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient, but his grace gets to you through Christ. Through Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. So we want you to get to the Father. And the way you do that is a very simple confession. Because the Apostle Paul told us, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's that simple. So please just repeat this after me. Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died on the cross at Calvary for my sins. I believe he was buried and went to hell. And after 3 days in hell, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, give you my life. And I ask you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, folks, if you made that confession, and it's the first time you made it and believed it, you just got born again. And we would ask you to just use the contact information that you see on your screen and contact us. Say, I made that confession with Pastor Greg. I'm born again. What do I do next? We'll send you some free information. Or you can just say, I'm born again now. As long as you give us return information, we'll send you the free information. If you have questions about what we share tonight, use the contact information. I promise I'll get back to you. As I always say, it may not be the same day I get the message, but I will get back to you, and it won't be a long time. So those of you out there that have received Christ, welcome to the kingdom of God. We pray God's blessings upon each and every one of you.